Pasquale is an archangel of healing, General, Laetir said, looking back down at the sheet-covered form. Just this once, though, I think he'll forgive me for wishing you every success. His hand moved on the sheet, stroking it, and he shook his head. They didn't have to do this to him. His voice was so low even Garvai could scarcely hear him. They didn't have to do it. They wanted to do it. I think you're right about that too, Father, Garvai replied, equally quietly. Laetir looked back up at him, and he shrugged very slightly. So far, I've seen very little hatred out of the Church of Karras, or your own reformists. I've seen quite a lot coming out of the Temple Loyalists, though. As have I, Laetir acknowledged, and it's in my mind that one reason they did this is to ignite that hate among us as well. He looked back down at the covered body. Tymon never hated anyone, except perhaps for those corrupt men in Zion, and no one could ever listen to him preach without realizing that. I think that's why he was so effective, and that's why the Loyalists want us to hate as hotly as they do. They want us to lash out at them, to let our own anger fuel the conflict between us, drive the breach still wider and deeper. Let our intemperance justify their own. You may be right about that, Father, Garvai said grimly, and as a son of Mother Church, I hope you and the other priests who have spoken out can resist that hatred, that anger. But I represent the secular authorities, and it's not my job to forgive things like this.
No, I suppose it's not.
Laetir looked down for a few more moments, then rose. From the stiffness of his movement, Garvai suspected he'd been kneeling there on those unyielding cobblestones since the body was first discovered, and the general reached out a steadying hand. The older man took it gratefully, then shook himself and nodded once again in the direction of his church.
I know we had to leave him here until you could examine the scene yourself, General. I understand that. But his wife is in the rectory there with my housekeeper. I offered to stay with her, but she insisted I stay with Tymon instead. It was all I could do to talk her into letting me keep him company until you arrived instead of her. I don't think I'd have succeeded if she were in any state to think clearly or argue. Now, though, Laetir shook his head. Please, General, I don't want her to see him, not like this.
I understand. Garvai met the priest's eyes levelly. When you go back to her, tell her we have to take the body for our own healers to examine for their reports. Keep her there until we've gone. Tell her it's my request as part of the investigation. I'll have my people do what they can before we release the body to her. His lips tightened. From the preliminary reports, I don't expect to be able to do a lot. But if you could have clothing for him delivered to my headquarters, I'll have him decently dressed when the healers are finished. Hopefully that should hide most of it, at least.
Thank General.
The priest laid one hand on Garvai's forearm and squeezed lightly.
I'm afraid she already knows from my reaction that it's ugly. But there's a difference between that and actually having to see what those butchers did.
And he squeezed Garvai's forearm again. Then he cleared his throat a bit noisily.
I've already said my farewells, he said softly. And I've already asked God if Tymon can wait a little until the rest of us catch up. So if you'll excuse me, I have a dear friend's widow to comfort.
Of course, Father, Garvai said gently. He bowed again, more deeply, and Laetir sketched the sign of Langhorne's scepter, then turned and walked slowly towards his church and the rectory next door. Garvai watched him go, reading the combined outrage, grief, and determination in the set of the priest's shoulders. There was a courage in Laetir's steady stride as well, one Garvai envied. For himself, he would rather have faced a charge of heavy cavalry, or even a line of Carisian riflemen, than what Laetir was about to face. He wondered for a moment exactly what that said about the difference between physical courage and moral courage. Then he drew another deep breath, went down on one knee, reached for a corner of the sheet, and steeled himself for what he was about to see.